Greetings. This is Stefko Sarasevic. The lecture is about information retrieval, the basics, the models, and interaction. As usual, we'll start with what's the central idea of the whole lecture. Information retrieval happens to be at the heart of all indexing and abstracting databases, at the heart of all information resources, at the heart of all search engines. All work on basis of information retrieval algorithms and procedures. All of them have built that in, and even if one is not at all aware about it, they're still built on the basis of information retrieval. So it is important for searchers to be aware of what is involved in information retrieval. Contemporary information retrieval is also highly interactive. It is so much so that it is pragmatically impossible to think of information retrieval anymore from interactions. Thus, a searcher has to be quite aware about interactions. And as a searcher, you will constantly use information retrieval. Thus, you have to be knowledgeable about it. This is probably the most complex lecture in the whole series of lectures that we'll have this semester. So here's the table of contents. We have 56 slides, 5 of them are titles, so we have 51 remaining with content. Of these, 13 are about information retrieval, 10 are about matching algorithms, and we will explore the exact match and best match, 3 about strength and weaknesses, and the majority of the lecture is devoted to part 4, where we explore information retrieval interaction and interactive models. One is in conclusions. So let's go to the 13 slides about information retrieval. First we start definitions and then we'll talk about the traditional model. Calvin Woods, a physicist, a early computer science pioneer and a mathematician, coined the term information retrieval in 1951. And he was so successful in his coinage that the term entered the language and it's in every dictionary. Here is how he defined it originally. Information retrieval embraces the intellectual aspects of the description of information and its specification for search, and also whatever systems, techniques, or machines are employed to carry out the operations. We'll explore this a little bit further. So, the objectives of information retrieval and the problems that information retrieval address come straight out of that definition with updated aspects as well. The basic objective of information retrieval system is to provide users with effective access to and interaction with information resources in order to retrieve information or information objects that are relevant. See, information retrieval, all the algorithms in information retrieval, your work in information retrieval is done in order to retrieve information or information for objects that are relevant. Thus, relevance has become and still is and will remain for time being the basic criterion, the basic notion in information retrieval. Here are the three problems that are being addressed by information retrieval for the last 50 or so years since Calvin Moore's coined the terms. How to organize information intellectually. You see, I put intellectually in bold terms because that's the question. We can then, if we organize it intellectually first, we can then produce algorithms. How to specify search and interaction intellectually, and what systems and techniques to use for these processes. Models. Any model depicts or represents what is involved. It is a choice of feature, processes, things to consider. So you can consider for the same object, for the same process, quite a few models. What we are considering here is the information retrieval model where the basic elements, the basic components are depicted. We have two kinds of models in information retrieval that has been used in research as well as in explanation and in practice. The one is traditional, which is the oldest. It is most used, and it shows the basic elements evolved. And the other one is interactive. It is much more realistic. It is favored now. It shows not only what elements are involved, but also what interactions are involved, and several models are proposed. There is no perfect model. There never will be. Each of these models has strengths and weaknesses. But we will start with the traditional model to illustrate a great many points from general to specific examples. Let me first describe the traditional min-model before I provide a graphical representation. We have two sides in the traditional model. On the one side is the system side that shows the processes performed by the system. And the other side is this user side, which shows the processes performed by users and intermediaries to you. So having these two systems, two sides, it is not surprising that these two led to a system orientation and a user orientation. In the system side, automatic processing is done. In the user side, human processing is done. It turns out that quite often there is a tension between these two sides. In the system orientation, mostly computer scientists involved. In the user orientation, mostly library and information scientists and practitioners are involved. Well, both of these sides do meet. They have to. They meet at a matching process where the query is fed into the system and system looks for documents that match the query. Well, in this model, as in real life, feedback is involved, so the things change based on the results. For instance, query is modified and new matching is done. And here is the graphic representation of this model. And you can see on the user side we have a problem. We have a representation of that problem and a query. On the system side we have a component that deals with acquisition, one that deals with representation, and the third one with file organization. In the middle, those two streams are matched. They produce retrieve object. On the basis of retrieve object, there is feedback, and the feedback can change the information need or the question or the formulation. What we'll do in the next several slides is address each of these elements to some degree, and we will start with the system side and first talk about acquisition. Well, acquisition is the component that determines the content of the databases. What is going in? This content in dialog is described in the blue sheets, in file description, in scopus, in subject areas, and in many other systems it's not described at all. This content is, in many systems, determined on the basis of selection of documents and other objects from various sources, from journals, from reports, and so forth. And these sources are then enumerated in blue sheets, and scopus is done under sources. These sources are mostly text-based documents. Not always, but mostly text-based documents, usually full text, sometimes only titles, sometimes abstracts, and so on. But also there are a number of databases that acquire data and statistics and images and maps, trademarks, and so forth. The various systems acquired in various ways. In many systems, this is humanly decided. In dialog, most dialog, if not all dialog databases, there was some kind of acquisition process where there was a human decision to include. Scopus has an advisory board to suggest sources to be included and so forth. Google, on the other hand, does crawling. Crawling is automatic, so it does automatic acquisition. Well, the importance for you is to realize that this part of the system size determines the contents of databases. And of course, it is key to file selection in searching. It is key what is the content of the aspect. The second component that we dealt with is representation on the system side. So things get in, and then they were indexed, and in great many ways. Their representation of documents or of any other objects, information objects that are entered in. Indexing can be done in many ways. Free text terms, there could be controlled vocabulary and manual indexing, automatic indexing, and so forth. We talked about it. Then there could be abstracting, summarizing. Now, many automatic techniques are today geared towards summarizing automatically from full text, and the automatic abstracting techniques were first suggested already in the late 1950s, early 1960s by two and one of the biggest pioneers of information retrieval called Hans-Peter Luhn. Well, then there is a presentation, there's bibliographic description, classifying, clustering, organization in fields and limits. In dialogue, we have basic index, additional indexes. In Scopus, we have pull-down menus and so on. Many of these representations are done now automatically. But the representation, what is important about it, is that it's basic to what is available for searching and displaying. The third component on the system size is file organization. And as we already mentioned, we can have files and do have files that are organized sequentially. Every record, everything by record. And then inverted, term by term, list of records under each term. Of course, there can be a combination, and there always is, about indexes are inverted and documents are sequential. So you search on an inverted index, but when the document is displayed by Google, by Dialog or Scopus, it's from a sequential index. So it's an interplay. Well, what we also do is when citations are retrieved only, and most systems retrieve citations, then we need another process, which very often is independent, to get documents, and very often these services are called document delivery, but we can retrieve something from Scopus and then go to Rutgers and get enables searching and interplay between these two files. Okay, let's go now to the user side. And the model starts with a problem, which is related to the user's task, situation, problem at hand. And it can vary in specificity and clarity. Some users have it very clear. Some users say, well, I'm generally interested in this, and as I go along, I'll specify more. It'll be more clear. It produces an information need, which is really the ultimate criterion for effectiveness of retrieval. What I mean by that is that the effectiveness is judged how well is that need met. Information need for the same problem may change, it may evolve, it may shift. It always changes, evolves, and shifts, as a matter of fact, if the process of the problem is longer in time. So this produces adjustment in searching. I have a problem, for instance, in developing this course, and as I started developing and I learned some things, and then I added things, I changed things, I focused on things, and my need from unit to unit of this course has changed quite a bit. So what we have is often more than one search for the same problem over time. And you will experience this in your TURN project. As a matter of fact, your whole TURN project is about this, that you will conduct more searches, more than one search for the same problem and adjust as you go along. In other words, what I'm telling you also is it is this investigation of what the problem is and the need is critical for examination in the interview. Well, the next thing is that problem is represented by a question. We treat the question as a representation It's not a real thing. It's a representation of need, and that representation can be well-stated, ill-stated, and so on. We also talk about the question as non-mediated. When user searches alone, that's a non-mediated representation. But with mediated is when there is intermediary plus user, you and the users. And then that involves interviews and human-human interaction. And in a special part of, and in a special unit of this course, we will treat just that, what is involved in human-human interaction in some detail. Among others, what is involved is question analysis, which is that the question is taken and then concepts are selected and elaborated, the terms are elaborated. And we can use a variety of tools for question analysis. Our own mind, of course, what we know, thesaurus, classification schemes, dictionaries, textbooks, catalogs, and so on. The focus in question analysis is toward deriving search term and logic. And of course, the focus is also determining, based on information need of the user, what files to select. You will select different files if the user is, let's say, a high school kid interested in astronomy versus if the user is an astronomer. So this question is always subject to feedback changes. You have critical roles in formulating and representing the questions. In other words, the importance of the question is that it determines the search specification. It's a dynamic process. Okay? The product is a query. And we already defined a query as that which goes into the system. It's the search formulation. It's translated into systems required in the limits. And this is the start of human-computer interaction. Remember, first we had human-human interaction, now we have human-computer interaction, in which, among others, you select files, you select the search strategy, what terms and logic to use, what possible fields and delimiters, whether you use controlled and uncontrolled vocabulary or either or, and how you vary the tactics. The query also is changed by reiterations from feedback. And there are quite a few types of feedback, types, relevance feedback, magnitude feedback, and so on. So, what we have is not only that we have question modification, but we also have query modification. We might also have query expansion and modification done automatically. And many systems are trying, an algorithm trying to build in that on the basis, if you indicate that this is a relevant document, the system itself will generate you more relevance terms to retrieve documents similar documents to the one that you indicated. Actually, the query means the actual how and what of searching. So here is where we meet. The user side and the system side meets at a matching. And the matching is the process of comparing. What documents in the file match the query as stated? That's what the search is. Well, we have various search algorithms, and we will elaborate upon them. There is an exact match algorithm, the Boolean algorithm. And the Boolean algorithm is still available in most, if not all, systems. As a matter of fact, hidden someplace in the belly is a Boolean capability for any and all systems. But they're also trying to do the best match, and we'll define the best match shortly. And this is that instead of doing only a Boolean search, or instead of a Boolean search, they rank the output by certain characteristics, usually by relevance. And this is increasingly used on the web. Of course, we have hybrids, and most of them have hybrids, so that we do both exact and best match search. Each of these, the exact, the batch, best match, the hybrids, has strengths and weaknesses. There is no perfect method for matching, and probably there never will be. So it involves great many types of search interactions and formulations. And the last element in this traditional model is the retrieve objects. And this is what is delivered from the system to the users. And in retrieve objects, we have various order of output. For instance, it is sorted by last in, first out, the LIFO principles. Great many systems do that. Then there are systems that are ranked by relevance and then LIFO, or ranked by some other characteristics, whatever the system may choose. So we have various forms of outputs to deliver to the users. In Dialog, we have several output options. In Scopus, we also have several output options, which is done in the titles by default, and then by abstracts for the references, plus quite a few more. Well, when citations only are available, there may be a possible link to document delivery. And I already mentioned that the document delivery for almost all, if not all, databases is a two-step process. You retrieve citations, abstract, or something, then you have to go and go get the documents back for it or whatever it is. And Scopus, you can see view at publishers, and if you are connected to a publisher that is involved, where is involved in the license that you have, you can see immediately. But if not, then you go to Rutgers University libraries for digital journals and get them there. Well, it is a base for relevance utility evaluation by users. That which you give to the users, it's base for their relevance and evaluation. In other words, this component is what the user or UC gets, judges, and various formats can be matched. Okay, we'll end with that section. Let's go now to this section that has 10 slides and deals with matching algorithm. And so what we are going to explore is the exact match and best match searches. Exact match is Boolean. It's the oldest and the most prevalent one. And what it does, it's you get exactly what you ask for. You get all the documents that have the terms with the logical connections and possibly other restrictions, such as to appear in titles, as stated in the query. You get nothing less, nothing more. Well, this exact match is extremely well suited for computers. Extremely well. Why? Because there is an algebra. There is a formal algebra, and the computers have to operate under formal algebra. As a matter of fact, this formal algebra, the Boolean algebra, is the basics. It is the basis of all computers. It's the basis of all the transistors, of all the chips that are built into the computer. Often this Boolean algebra has been called a new algebra. Why? It's not new at all, and it's a great misnomer. And often it is presented by circles in so-called Venn diagrams. Well, let us see how Boolean algebra operates. We have the ordinary algebra that has four operations, addition, subtraction, division, multiplications. Well, Boolean algebra has similarly. George Boole came up with similar things. We operate on sets instead of numbers. So the four operations are such that are unary operations. If you set, I want to retrieve A, then retrieve set that has term A. I want documents that have the term library, and you get all the documents that have the term library. A and B, retrieve sets that have terms A and B, and often this is called an intersection and is labeled as A with an upside down U and B. So, well, you get all the documents that have both terms, library and digital, someplace. The third operation is A or B, often called union and labeled as A, like extended U, B, and the thief said that that's either terms A or B. I want documents that have either term library or term digital someplace within, whatever. And then the fourth operation is the negation. It's like subtraction in algebra. It is A not B. Retrieve set that has terms A but not B. It is often called negation and is labeled A minus B. So I want to term all the documents that have library, but if they have term digital, forget about it. Here are the potential problems when we apply to information retrieval. Digital and library, the operation AND, will retrieve, or the operation intersection, will retrieve documents that have digital library together as a phrase, of course, but they'll also retrieve documents that have digital up in the title, for instance, and library maybe 10 pages down, mentioned in passing. And it doesn't deal with digital libraries at all. Thus, to circumvent that, we will have phrase searching or near searching. And go Google and Scopus, you will ask digital library with phrase marks, and in dialogue, digital with the library, and digital with within 5 words of library, and so on. Mind you that every system has capabilities to do what is known as proximity searching, but every system has somewhat differently expressed that. We also have to be aware that when we search digital but not library, it will retrieve all documents that have digital and suppress all documents that have library. But sometimes those suppressed documents may be very well, may be relevant. Thus, not is also known as a dangerous operator. So you have to watch out. How do you apply it and when you apply it? Well, you also have to beware of order. And here is the oldest and kind of the tiredest joke in the information retrieval. When you search for Venetian and blind, this will retrieve documents that have Venetian blind and also that have blind Venetians. Grow. Boolean algebra is depicted in Venn diagrams, and in the guide for searching for this unit, I have an exercise where you can shade the Venn diagrams and play along with them. We are not going to deal in great length here with them, but I'm going to just mention them. That we have these four basic operations. When we search A alone, we shade 1 and 2. When we search A and B, we shade 2 only. When we search A or B, we shade 1, 2, and 3. When we search A not B, digital not libraries, we shade only 1. And you can see immediately when you look at that, that you are retrieving quite a different sets depending on the operation. This is what's the strength of the Boolean algebra, because it operates on these sets, and this is how computer operates. Well, here is one more example. We have a Boolean algebra, like the algebra, does allow for complex statements A or B and C. You shade 4, 5, and 6. So you can search for digital or libraries and Rutgers. A or B not C, shade what? Sit down, look at this on your own, and shade and guess it. In Boolean algebra, as in the algebra itself, you have to be aware that where do you put parentheses changes the order of operations. So in ordinary algebra, when you say 2 plus, in parentheses, 3 times 4, is very, very different result than if you say in parentheses 2 plus 3, end of parentheses, times 4. So in parentheses A and B, end of parentheses, or C, is not at all the same as A and parentheses B or C. So the same way that you have to be careful in ordinary algebra, have to be careful with Boolean algebra. And here are some additions to the variations of the theme that you can do with Boolean searches. We already started talking about it, that the term digital and libraries can be specified to appear in given fields. So you can specify it to appear only in title. I do often, very often, that search. And I try to retrieve at least some documents, then I look what terms they have in the keywords or whatever, and then I search broader terms. So you start with narrow on titles and broaden up. In Scopus, the pull-down menu will allow you for selection of a given field, so you can search for that it appears in article title and so forth. In Google, advanced search gets you a pull-down menu for where your key will show up. That's what they say. And then you go to the in the title of the page. Same thing, but differently done. But you also have to be aware that variations on the Boolean searches that the various systems have different ways to retrieve singular and plurals for the same term. In the Scopus, automatically, the term library will retrieve also libraries, and vice versa. In Dialog, you have to specify library and then a question mark to retrieve variants. But you have to beware where do you put the question mark. If in Dialog you put the, if you want to retrieve cat or cats, and then after cat you put a question mark, you are going to retrieve cat, cats, catalogs, cataloging, cataloger, and so forth. So in Google, library retrieves library, but it doesn't retrieve libraries. So you have to be aware how the system treats it. Okay, we finish now with exact match searching. Let's get to best match searching. And this is what most automatic systems are striving for. Google and most, if not all, the engines are trying to do exactly that. Output is ranked. It is not presented as a Boolean set, but in some rank order. You retrieve documents that are ranked by how similar, how close they are to a query. And that, how close, is calculated by a system, and the calculation is done by a certain algorithm where the similarity is assumed as relevance. And it's ranked from highest to lowest relevance to the query. And you always have to mind that lowest, highest to lowest, is determined by the system, not by you. You change the query, system changes the rank. Thus, documents as answers are presented for those that are most likely relevant, down to less and less likely relevant as determined by a given algorithm. Remember, a system algorithm determines relevance ranking. It's interesting, for instance, the consequences of this for search engines is that it was found out in many, many studies that users, overwhelming number of users, look at the first page. Some of them look at two, very low down look at three, and that's about it. So there is a huge, huge effort by a great many who provide input to users is to strive toward higher placement. You see, what Google actually does, it rents space. It's similarly, this is a similar view, economic view, as for restaurants. The restaurants are basically in the business of renting table space. economically. Google does the same way. So what you have is that in many, many corporations now that depend on online, they have a person or a whole department that is trying to determine how, what kind of a input they should, what kind of output they should provide that will help them place higher. So what you have now is you have people who are indexing meta terms in various ways that are most successful. So indexers have found a new job and in the departments in many, many places that will that are trying to improve their space in search engines. Well, let us go on with best match. One has to understand that all of these algorithms, all of these best matches deal with probability. It's not certainty, it's probability. And the question that is being asked, what is the probability that the document is relevant? Given that the document is retrieved, what is the probability that is relevant? And that's one of the basic measures of effectiveness. And we will deal with that in a few lectures, but you have to remember it right now. It compares the set of query terms with the set of terms in the document. It calculates the similarity, the algorithm, between query and each document based on common terms and other aspects. It sorts the documents in terms of similarity. And it assumes, this is a huge assumption, that a higher ranked document have a higher probability of being relevant. It does allow for cutoff at a chosen number. For instance, you can choose in many systems the first 20 documents. As a matter of fact, when you look only in the first page of a search engine, you have chosen to the cutoff as being whatever is on the first page. The big issue that I face with these systems development developers and computer scientists, information retrieval scientists that deal with these algorithms, what representation and similarity measures are better? Better in terms of what? In terms of retrieval of relevant documents. And that is what is the subject of information retrieval experiments. Better is determined by a number of criteria. So, such as relevance, such sometimes as speed. Google doesn't put a lot of effort to produce better as to relevance. It also puts a lot of effort to produce relevance as speed. And in order to do that, it has a battery and battery of computers and computer outfits. And one of the big held secrets of Google and all the other engines is actually how many computers that they have, what kind of a computer powers they have, where they are, and how do they work. As I pointed out in, I think, a previous lecture, it is not neutral to the environment. These search engines produce use a tremendous amount of electricity. Google has moved, it's one of its major computing facilities in one of the southern states, at the moment I forgot where. Why? Because there is cooling water available easily and energy is cheaper than elsewhere. And they are not neutral to the environment. They produce, because of they use so much energy, they produce a lot of harmful effect to the environment. So we never ever thought about that. But now we have started thinking that to some degree, we are also contributing to degreening of the planet. Okay, end of a sermon. Let's go to the end of best match. Variety of algorithms are used to determine similarities. There are statistics. They use statistics properties. Increasingly, linguists are involved to try to use linguistic properties. So there are algorithms, for instance, if digital appears a lot of times in the given documents relative to its size, that document will be ranked higher when the query is digital. And if digital is a very important in the whole set of terms in the whole collection, and the document has a lot of term document, it's still ranked higher. So many are proposed and tested in information retrieval research. And information retrieval research is growing. There is a special interest group for information retrieval of the Association of Computing Machinery, and it's now worldwide, and information retrieval research is done in great many countries, including China, including Brazil, Chile, UK, and all the other European Union countries. Many of these are now developed by commercial organizations. Google also uses calculations not only as to linguistic aspects and term aspects, but as number of links to and from documents. They call that PageRank. Many of these algorithms are now secret. I already mentioned that they're not disclosed. Well, the key is the way the system ranks and you rank may not necessarily be in agreement. Web outputs are mostly ranked by best match. I would say not mostly all. Dialog, Scopus, and some others do allow ranking as well with some special commands. So, here we are at the end of description of what's exact match and best match. And we are going to be talking with three slides. What are the strengths and weaknesses of these two approaches? Boolean allows for logic, provides all that has been matched. But Boolean does not give you any order. Usually it's like for last in, first out. It retrieves all retrievals equally. For most relevant to least is all the items in the set are treated equally. In Boolean, all the items in the set are not treated equally. And it often, in Boolean, it requires examination of large outputs, and you already experienced that. Best match does allow for free terminology. It provides for rank output. It provides for cutoff of any size of output. As a matter of fact, very often, the measure of the effectiveness of rank output is studied. So one of the measure is how many relevant answers do we have in the first 20 answers? And that measure is called precision at 20. Then you can say, how many answers do we have that are relevant in 50 answers? And that measure is called precision at 50, and so on. But Boolean does not include logic. The ranking methods are not transparent at all, and you ask the perennial questions, whose relevance do you mean? And the question also, which is the problem, is where to cut off. So the traditional model has great strength. It does list major components in both systems and uses branches. And it suggests what is to explain to users about the system if needed. So any users, you show them that diagram that I have you with two sides, any user will readily understand what is there. It has another strength for you as a searcher. It suggests to you what to ask of users for more effective searching. And it aids in selection of components for concentration. It also gives you ways to do better representations. And it provides a framework for evaluation of the static aspects. Well, the weaknesses, it does not account for interactions. That's the biggest weakness. And it does account of interactive judgments and results by users. It identifies interactions with matching only. That's the only interaction that is represented. And it's very, very small part of all the interactions that are actually appear, because interaction is a much, much richer process. There are many, many types and variables interactions that are not reflected. Also, it shows only one kind of a feedback, but feedback has many types and functions. It is also shown. Also, the evaluation is only one-sided. Interaction is information retrieval is a highly, highly interactive process. Thus, additional models are needed, and we are going to deal with those. And as you will see right away when I represent the three models that are most popular now, that things are not that simple anymore. Why? Because interactions are not that simple. So the question that we are asking, that these models are asking, is what happens in searching? Well, here is a truism. There is much, and I should say much, much, much more to searching than knowing computers, networks, and commands, as there is much more to writing than knowing word processing passages. Let's examine information retrieval as interaction. If we consider users and use as central to systems, then, and I'll repeat that, users and use as central, then interaction is a dominant feature of contemporary information retrieval. But it has many facets. It has interaction with systems and technology. It has interaction with documents and texts that are viewed or retrieved. It has interaction between people, intermediaries, and users. So we have several interactive IR models. None of them are as widely accepted as the traditional information retrieval models. Well, first let's address a broader area of study for IR interaction. It is the human-computer interaction studies that are quite strong in computer science as well as a number of other fields. So HCI, human-computer interaction, we take from human-computer interaction the broader concepts. And here a definition by a guy named Storrs a while ago, and still it's a valid definition because he brings out nicely the three things that are involved. Any interaction takes place through one or more interfaces and involves two or more participants who each have one or more purposes for the interaction. So his key terms are participants, interface, and purpose. Participants are people and computer, and the computer is a participant and everything in it. Software, hardware, resources. The interface is a common boundary where the two meet. And the purposes, people have purposes for searching, but, and this is, we usually don't think of that way, but we have to realize that the computer has a purpose built in. The person who developed the algorithm for retrieval had a purpose in mind, and that's built in. So a computer has a purpose, not the machine. Now the inanimate object has a purpose, but the process that the inanimate object is conducting has a purpose. So at issue with these models is to identify the important aspects and roles of each. Here are two more definitions that pertain to human-computer interactions. One is that interaction is the exchange of information between participants where each has the purpose of using the exchange to change the state of itself or of one or more others. Look at the concept, exchange. Well, you do exchange information with the computer. You get something and you put something back in. And the purpose being that there is a change. In the computer, you change the algorithm or the change, what is going to be and how is being searched. But in the participant that is a human, there is a change in cognitive set. Something in your mind changes. Well, we can also look at the other definition, which is an interaction is a dialogue for the purpose of modifying the state of one or more participants. You see, the basic concepts of all interaction is this modification. The key concepts are exchange and change. For user, it is the change in the state of knowledge related to a given problem, task, and situation. When you have an end user for your project, what that end user is seeking is to change something, what is in their mind, in order to do something, X, whatever it is, write a book, create a patent, write a paper, live a happy life, get healthy, whatever the purpose may be. But to change is essential in all the interactions. So, and the last of the definition is provided by Peter Ingvarsson, who is one of those researchers on the user side of information retrieval model. And he says the interactive communication process that occurred during the retrieval of information by involving all in the major participant information retrieval, the user, the intermediary, and the system. So what Peter has identified is that what we have involved is users, intermediaries possible, everything in our systems, and this is his basic contribution, is that he also involved the communication processes which deal with exchange of information. So the question that we are asking as researchers, and you are asking as a practitioner, as a professional, the question that you are asking, what variables are involved in interaction? What should I worry about? The models that we have and that I will present shortly provide a list. The second question that you have to ask and the researchers ask, how do they affect the process? How does the interaction that you have with the system or with the user affect the process? How to control these processes? By control, I don't mean in a negative sense. I mean in the sense of increase, that not things are going all over the place, but that you are gearing into an increase of effectiveness. You're also asking the third question, which is important. Do given interventions, that means actions, do given communications improve or degrade the process? Does what you do in, let's say, conversation with the user or in formulation of a search, does that improve? Does that degrade the process? Well, this also involves the searches, user actions. And finally, the last question, which many people involved in design of these systems are asking, can we design in system something so that searches interventions will improve performance, that we help in the improvement of the performance? So these four questions are critical that you should ask of any interactions. What variables are involved? How do they affect the process? What do I do? Does it improve or degrade the process? And when something is designed, what interventions improves performance? Okay, let's go to these three models. And basically why I'm presenting these models is to improve my understanding of what interactions are. For years, I'm thinking about this, what is involved, and these kinds of things help me in doing it and clarifying that question. Well, several models are proposed. None of them is widely accepted. And they all try to incorporate information objects, which we usually call texts. They try to incorporate information retrieval systems and settings, the interfaces, intermediaries, you if they are present. They definitely try to incorporate user characteristics as to cognitive aspects, the tasks, the problem in hand, the interests of the users, the goals, the preferences. They definitely also try to incorporate the social environment, because nothing is happening in information retrieval in a vacuum, and a variety of processes between them all. And if you just look at these several aspects, and I have here seven of them enumerated, you can see how complex this interactive process are. Let me now talk about user modeling, and I'll use only one slide for that, because we treat it at quite some extent in unit 11. But I'm introducing it here for two purposes. One, to illustrate one of the more important aspects of human interaction. And the second is because you are going to select a user to study in your project, is you're going to have a lot of human interaction. And what is it? What kind of a questions should you ask? So user modeling, what this means within the context of information retrieval, it means that you identify elements about the users that may impact interaction. And these elements are way above and beyond just the question itself. So you're asking, for instance, you're asking the question, who is the user? For instance, by their education, as I already mentioned, you are going to do quite a bit of different search for a high school student interested in astronomy than from an astronomer. What is the problem task at hand? And you are doing quite a different search for somebody who says, I have a paper due on Monday, than somebody who says, I'm doing a doctoral dissertation. What is the need? What is the question? How much does that person know about the question? What will be the stuff that you receive use for? How much is it wanted? A lot? A little? There is quite a different search if you do it for somebody who is doing a lawsuit and somebody who is doing the proverbial paper due on Monday. And how fast does it need it? What environment is involved? So what I'm saying is that user modeling, and that's the reason why we use this particular term rather than just question analysis, is much more than question analysis. And user modeling is very much related. It's not a new concept. It's very much related to what librarians have been doing at least for 100 years, and that's called the reference interview. This particular aspect, the user modeling, is not only used to select the terms for search, but it's also used to select resources, specify search concepts and terms, formulate query, select formats, and the amount of results provided. Do follow-up feedback, reiteration, change tactics, and so forth. Okay, let's go to the interactive models now. I choose to summarize here three, because these three have received quite a bit of attention, and they each of them in a very different way tries to represent that elusive things which we all know what it is all about, interaction, and then when pushed, it means this, it also means this, it also means this. So let's see what does it mean. Peter Ingvarsson, a Dane, concentrated on enumeration of general elements that enter interaction. Nick Belkin, a professor at Rutgers, at our school, concentrates on different processes that are involved as interaction progresses through time. Tefko Sarasevic, also a professor at Rutgers, he concentrates again on strata or levels of interaction on two sides, on the computer side and user side. So each of us concentrate on a somewhat different thing. As I mentioned already, none of these models is as widely accepted and popular and used as the traditional model. So here's what Peter does. He's a pioneer. He is among the first to view information retrieval differently from traditional model. Not surprisingly, he is a professor and comes from a Royal School of Library and Information Science in Copenhagen, which has a distinct distinction that is the only library school in the world that is also its own university. They have no other departments, no nothing. They are a university. Anyhow, Ingvarsson included our system, but also concentrate on other elements outside of the systems. Information objects, intermediary, you, the interfaces, user cognitive aspects, what the user has and how much does it have in the mind, users and general environment, path of request, He calls a request, we call it question. From environment to the query, path of cognitive changes, path of communication, and other paths of interactions. And here is the original picture that he proposed. It takes a while to realize what it is. As all pictures, it simplifies extensively the things. But what you can see here in the middle of it, the most important part that he considers, is that this the user has a cognitive space. By cognitive space, he means user has a structure in his mind. And all of these models are thus depicted as cognitive models. That user operates in an environment. The user produces a request. That through an interface is made as a query to the system. And IR system has given setting algorithms or whatever it is that also contain information objects, documents, and there is an interaction between that. What we have is that the cognitive transformation flows from the system and information objects to users, and the interaction communication goes both ways. Let's go to Nick Belkin's episodes model. What Peter Ingvarsson concentrated on is what are the objects that are involved, and he enumerated a half a dozen or more. While Nick Belkin, what he concentrated on is what happens in the interaction process. What Nick views, and I think this is very correct view, that interaction is a series of episodes. And when you read the article by Mercier Bates on berry picking, that's exactly what Mercier is saying. It's, you know, there was a series of episodes. It's not one thing, and a number of things are involved. There are all kinds of stuff that you do, not just search. And that depends on users' goals and tasks. In these episodes, you might browse, you may navigate. At some point, you may summarize the stuff. At some point, you will ask for a visualization of the stuff and so on. And it involves different aspects of information, informational objects. In other words, what this model depicts as why we interact, we do diverse things. We perform various tasks and involve different objects. And very often, this is also multitasking. In other words, very often we chew gum and walk at the same time. So what you should think about it, what Nick was thinking about it, is what do you do while searching? Here is the graphic depiction of Belkin's model. We have an interaction. We do a judgment during the interaction. We use the stuff. We interpret it. We modify it. Then, in order to do this interaction, we have navigation, compare. We have users' goals, various representation, and so forth. And what he says this is, in one episode we might navigate, in the other episode we might compare, in the third episode we might summarize of what we got, and so forth. So he views your interaction with the system and you with the user, and both as a set of episodes. Okay, here is my satisfied model. What I was concerned is how to look at the interaction from a different point of view, and I was very, very much influenced with the satisfied models that appear in great, great many disciplines. For instance, linguistics has a basic satisfied model that looks as a language as satisfied into morphology, syntax, semantics, and pragmatics, and each of them have their own kind of a set of rules, but they interact with each other. And as I said, there are tons of disciplines that look at stuff in real life in the same way, including philosophers that look as that a real world and real interaction is separated in various strata. Anyhow, What this model is that consider this as a sequence of processes occurring in several levels or several strata. And what it looks like, what it implies or says is that the interaction is actually the interplay between these different levels. So what the model says is that there are several users level, and these users level produce a query. The query has its own characteristics, very much based on the users level. There's, on the other end, there are several computers level. They all meet on the surface level at the interface. And dialogue enabled by interface, we have user utterances and computer utterances in quotes results. And the adaptation is that there are changes in any and all. But the whole point is that the whole interaction is actually viewed from this point of view as geared toward the use. Here is a graphic representation, and nothing is happening in vacuum. Everything happens within a social, cultural, or different context. There is a situation that a user works with. There is effective components to it, and we are very, very much in depth of our colleague Carol Kuchtau, who while investigating long-term interactions between students and information, has formulated that the affective components, play a large role. What is the intent, what is the motivation, and a number of other affective aspects. Then there is a cognitive structure. This is what you have in your noodle. All this produces the query, and the query has certain characteristics, should be short, long, specific, it has searching titles and so on. On the other end, we have the computer, which has certain content, information objects, the set of databases in Dialog. It processes these according to certain algorithms. Dialog has command system that processes it in algorithms. It does have hardware connections, network, all sits on the big network. But where they meet is they meet at this interface. This is the surface level. This is the only thing that we actually see. And the interaction occurs according to all of these levels. The interaction is with the situation that may change, with the intent that has been met or not, with cognitive aspects that has once has learned and gone on. The adaptation goes that way in both ways, but the whole thing is geared toward the use of information. We will, in next few slides, interpret this. Well, when we look at these levels, we're trying to define of what is involved. What's up? It does help us in recognition in separation of different variables. So I can separate, for instance, the variables that relate to the situation, the variables that selected to the intent, the variables in relation to the query, and so forth. And on the computer side, I can separate and study what is involved with the context, with the content, with the processing algorithms, and with the hardware software type. So it does the strata show that there is an interaction between very, very complex elements and its complex dynamics. On the user side, it suggests what affects factor query and judgment of responses. Thus, these aspects are used in user modeling. When you are asking the user what is the query, this model suggests what other things you should ask. for instance, what effective, what's your intent, what's the situation, within what context do you work. So interaction is interplay between levels. Interplay on the user size, cognitive, between cognitive structures and text and users. On the effective side, between intention and all the others. On the situational, between text and tasks and hand. And we have a similar interplay on the computer side. On the surface level, it's the interface where all meet. And this is what where it happens, what Belkin was suggesting. Navigation, browsing, display, visualization, query characterization. This is what you see, and this is where you do different things that affect what is cognitive, what you learn in relation to what your intentions are, and so forth. So we have an interplay of judgment in searching and evaluation of result according to relevance. That's where there is an interplay. We change the models and situation. We change the selection of search terms, and it results in, we have a feedback that result in modification. So in this particular model is that I was trying to point out what is the interplay between levels that are occurring in interaction. And there is a lot of interplay between different things that go on. And think about it. Think about when you had the last interaction between the user, or when you're going to have the interaction with your user for the term project, that you are going to have an interplay, a play with a lot of different things, with the user's task, with the user's question, with the information system that you're using, with the hardware, software that you're using, and so forth. And interaction is a messy affair. Well, it's human. Why shouldn't it be messy? So what this also suggests is that you can participate as an additional interface. You are an interface. You are a human interface. Don't think that this is a degrading term when we talk interface. When we talk mediated searching, that's exactly what you are, an interface between the user on the one end and everything else on the system and resources on the other end. So you have many, many roles. If we take this interaction as complicated as it is, you can have a diagnostic help role in helping defining the problem and in query formulation. You have the role in handling of the system interface. You have a role in selection, interpretation, and manipulation of information resources. You have a role in interpretation of results. You have a role in the education of a user. And you also enact or couldn't be an enabler of end users. But the whole basic role, why you are doing all this? Well, you're doing it for a single reason, to provide effective results, to optimize all the results. So all these complicated going ons have one basic goal: getting better results, getting effective results. Getting effective results, meaning that you are engaged in all these various things, which are processing at different levels. So, what are the implications? Well, interaction is central to information retrieval. Absolutely, totally, completely central. And that includes in searching of the web. But we see the interaction on the surface level. But there are many, many variables and levels, and there is an interplay between them, and they are kind of hidden. The interaction, information retrieval interaction, requires your knowledge of these levels and interplays. Well, many users have difficulties in expressing. In expressing what do they need to formulate a query, and so do many professionals. Well, unfortunately, the interfaces that we have are not yet that helpful. So the design of interfaces for fruitful interaction is still lacking. That may be 10, 20 years in the future. Not next year, believe me. But they will be coming, and every improvement in the interface helps a little bit, but we are still far off. It's still a very, very much human process, which is good because it keeps you employed. Well, in these interactions, people compensate in great many ways, and very often including with trial and error and with correcting failures. Great many years ago, somebody, Don Swanson was, who formulated information retrieval is in a trial and error process, and indeed it is. What happens in searching? Well, it is a highly iterative process. It goes back and forth between user modeling, reformulating search strategy. It goes on and on in many feedback loops, twists and turns. Search strategy, the big pictures, is where you select reselect the sources, where you state the query, and from question to from a question and terms, their expansion, logic, and so forth. Searching involves search tactics, the action steps, what to do first, what to do next, from broad to narrow searches to formatting results. Searching also involves evaluation of results. How much? That's called magnitude. And very often you have relevance magnitude feedback. And magnitude feedback, you see how much you retrieve, you do nothing. You don't even look at the single result, but you say, oh, this is too much, let's go down. Or I retrieve zero, oh, this is nothing, let's go on. Or I retrieve only one. You have evaluation of results as to relevance, feedback, user modeling of the question, the strategy, the tactics, how to broaden, and so on. What we did in this lecture is for the first time we went outside of the mechanics of the systems. Before we were talking about how systems treat vocabularies, how systems are engaged in doing fields, how do you do proximity searching, and things like that. This is the first time we stepped out of that system aspect and we went on to the interaction aspects. So here are some practical suggestions for searches. I took that from a source that I can't find anymore. If somebody do searching, tell me where I stole this from. But these are the six elements that appeared as advice. Prepare carefully. Understand your opponent. And I love this, the way they said, your opponent is dialogue. Your opponent is Scopus, LexisNexis, whoever. Anticipate. You always have to anticipate something. For instance, hidden meaning of terms. Have a contingency plan. You always have to have a plan B to assess odds of success. Or you say, at this point, I really should stop. It's diminishing the return. And at some point, you should say, the end. Well, avoid ambiguity, which is inherent in language. And the last, I love the best, stay loose. And then I was thinking, what in the world does stay loose mean? But it's good. Stay loose while searching. The dictionary says not firmly fastened or fixed in place. Well, that sounds good. And here is another depiction of staying loose. Well, thank you very much. This was a long lecture, but it introduced you to another aspects of the complex and wonderful and challenging and fun world of searching.